So, welcome. I'm so sorry. I'm afraid I'm the only person in the whole building who does not speak French. So you have to try to understand my broken English and learn something about WCF data services, REST, and OData. The agenda for the next hour, the first thing is a little introduction, an overview about WCF data services, REST, and OData. Then we dive a little bit deeper in the features of the OData protocol. Next, we look at implementing and using OData clients. And the last thing, building OData services. So what is this all about? So if you have only an application or want to build an application that has one database and one client application, and only this client is interested in the data, then data services is not too important for you. But if you have an application that has a lot of interesting data, and if there are many other applications who want to use the data, integrate with this data, reuse the data, then data services is an interesting option. So it's all about breaking data silos, making data available for a lot of interested clients about data sharing and integration. And somehow, data services remind me on ODBC, you know, this technology from the old days. So when ODBC came alive, it enabled interaction between a lot of database products and client tools, like reporting tools or Excel or whatever, by defining a common interface, at this time in the form of C functions, that defined the way how the producers of data and the consumers of data speak together. And somehow, data services and OData is a similar thing like ODBC, but it works with web technologies. A little big picture. So in the middle, we have a protocol called OData. It's built on a lot of existing standards and protocols like HTTP, ATOM-PUB, and JSON. Then on the left side, we have producers, that means servers that support the protocol, and the .NET way to build OData services is called WCF data services, but there are other possibilities from other vendors to implement that kind of services. And then on the right side here, we have consumers. Again, WCF data services is the .NET and Silverlight technology that brings the easiest way to use OData services, but there are others for other platforms and other programming languages. The short history of OData and WCF data services. The first ideas were around in 2006. Then the project with codename Astoria was started. 2 years later, in 2008, there was the first release of a product at that time called ADO.NET Data Services. And 1 year later, 2009 at PDC, the next release of the product came and it was renamed to WCF Data Services because it uses inside WCF technology and the same team is responsible for it. And before the end of 2009, so Microsoft just added some conventions on top of standards like HTTP and ATOM-PUB, but didn't give the thing an official name. In 2009, the OData protocol was announced and then shortly later released under a thing called Open Specification Promise. So OData has been invented by Microsoft, but everyone is allowed to use the protocol, to implement the protocol without getting sued by Microsoft. So that's the promise. The development is going on. So currently there is a CTP2 version for the next thing that is coming for WCF data services. But I'm using the released code that is available with .NET 4.0 and Visual Studio 2010. It also is available for .NET 3.5 Service Pack 1. So OData stands for Open Data Protocol. The design goals when Microsoft started with this project were to invent as little as possible. So therefore they started using existing standards like HTTP and ATOMPUB, and make the usage of OData services as simple as possible. Very low barrier of entry. So in the worst case, you can use an OData service if you know how to send an HTTP request and parse the XML that is returned by that service. From an architectural perspective, OData is a RESTful protocol. And what does this mean? So in a RESTful system, resources are the centerpiece of that system. And so every data items or entities are regarded or seen as resources, and every resource has an URI that allows to access that resource. Resources, or let's say like a data record, do not have custom behavior, like an, in an object-oriented environment, but the programmatic interface to the resources is very simple and it's uniform. And typically, it's the that are the HTTP operations like get, post, put, delete, and in OData they add a merge, but it's not more. And you can compare it to SOAP, that is not a, a RESTful system. So, on the contrary to a RESTful system, SOAP is defined or based on operations, and that operations that receive messages and they may return messages. SOAP today is very sophisticated, has very sophisticated capabilities defined by the WSDAR protocols that you may know, and there is things like routing, policies, reliable messaging, message security, asynchronity, message correlation, distributed transactions, and on and on and on. So SOAP is more powerful, but also more complicated, and there are a lot of discussions going on the web, what is better, REST or SOAP. I think they are just two different tools, and depending what you want to do, you have to choose the right tool. If you want to implement a web service that enables financial transactions, then you are better off using the normal WCF and implementing that using a SOAP protocol. But it's, if it's just about accessing data and doing simple updates, then OData and REST, in many cases, will be just good enough. A little more about OData. So you find everything about OData if you go to www.odata.org. This is the official icon for the Open Data Protocol. So it builds on HTTP and ATOMPUB. HTTP is just the transport mechanism, the way how to send requests and get results. And I'm sure you know that ATOMPUB is a protocol that has come out of the blogger scene. So at first there was the RSS, and RSS was not really always valid XML. And then out of the successor of RSS was just ATOM. And ATOM is a protocol that defines a news feed. So the main concepts are the feed, which is a list or a collection of entries. And an entry in the blogger world is one blog post. It has some predefined fields like a title, it may have a summary, it has an author, and it has content. And for a real blog, the content is a piece of HTML that has that information what the blogger has blogged. And then also such an entry may have a few links that relate this entry to other interesting information that has to do something with that thing. And the ATOM protocol has been used by OData, and the feed is used for the table or an entity set, and the table or entity set has a collection of records or entities, and the content of an entry now is used for the values of one record. So it's a list of things, and the Atom protocol is extensible enough so that Microsoft could use this protocol and extend it in a certain way without breaking existing standards. Now the Atom pub thing, so the pub adds a little bit to Atom. It defines how to group feeds together and also defined how to add or delete entries or update entries to a feed. So what OData is doing, it defines how relational data or record data or entities are put as XML in the content of an entry. We'll see all this soon. It also defines how to represent all the data in a JSON format, because some clients, especially Ajax web applications, they prefer getting JSON instead of XML. Then OData defines addressing scheme. How do I access items, entries, information inside the entry or the data record single fields? We will see that also. It adds a query syntax that we can put in the query string of an URI. And it defines how to return metadata about a set of tables or feeds or entity sets in that case. So that's what's in OData. So there are a lot of OData servers already out there. So I can implement servers using .NET. We will see that. Then SharePoint 2010 allows to access SharePoint lists as an OData service. Then reporting services added OData. So the data behind the report can be accessed using that format. In Azure, the Azure Table Storage supports OData. Then Microsoft Dynamics. Interesting thing, in the US, there's the Open Government Data Initiative. So there is government data that is public. I'm not sure what this exactly is. Assume some statistics information that is public, that is available as an OData service. Windows Azure contains a marketplace data market. That is a marketplace where when you have interesting data to sell, you put it there. If you look for interesting data, like statistic data about anything, you go there and look if someone is offering the data. Then IBM WebSphere Extreme Scale REST Data Service is an example of a product not from Microsoft that uses OData, and you can find more at odata.org. On the client side, a valid client for an OData service is anyone who can send an HTTP request. So soon I will play around with the browser to show you how OData works. Then there are a number of client libraries, of course, for .NET and Silverlight, but also for Microsoft, for Ajax, PHP, and Java, even as open source. There are tools coming out to work with OData, OData Explorer and LinkPad. I'll have a picture of it soon. And for example, there's Excel and PowerPivo. I show this, and there are many more to be found here. Okay, let's play around with OData and do this on a real service. And what I want to use is a public service. It's from a US company, Netflix. Netflix is selling streaming movies, and you also can rent movies. And what they've done is that they have, of course, a catalog of all their movies and information around it, and they have published this catalog as an OData service. So I have a little file here to get my URIs. So the entry point of that service is odata.netflix.com and catalog. So I use this URI and hope they didn't turn off the service right now. No, it's still there. So the first thing what we get is a so-called Atom Pub service document. This tells me what feeds, or better, entity collections are available. So the first one is called Shores, and they have a name and a relative URI. And now I can take this relative URI and add it to my starting point. And I get all the data. So here you see the feed element, that is the root. There are some properties for the feed itself, like the feed has a title and ID when it has been updated last, and a link to itself, and the feed contains a number of entries. So we open the first entry. So the real data is somewhere hidden. Here is the content. So the content is still an atom property, and now here are the properties that OData adds. These are the fields for the record. It's a very simple record, or it has only one field name. This is the name of that genre. And then there are some official atom fields like an ID. Then there is a title. So the name of the genre has been reused as the title. Updated, I think it's just a current time. Author is empty, but Atom says that this property has to be there. And then there's a link to itself. And there's another link to related records. It's called titles, because one genre has a lot of titles. So in a relational world, it's a one-to-many relationship between genres and titles. So the next thing we can do is access a single entry or a single entity from a feed using the primary key. And that's the syntax. You just add the primary key in parentheses. Let's try this thing. Oh, it's working. I get one entry. Same one we've seen before. I can go on and go into the record, access only one field, add the name to the URI. So the name of the field is name in this case. I get the name wrapped in XML. And if I want to have only the value, I add dollar value at the end, and I get only the pure value. So you can see every item in our data, in our resources, has an URI and can be addressed by an URI. What more do we have? That's interesting. Let's try this one. Atom Pub says that each entry may have one blob or streaming object. And the way to access it is I go to one title by its primary key and then go to the value of the whole entity. And I get the cover picture for this title. So the next thing, I want to drill in the related records. I go to one genre and want to see all related titles. Although that works. So I get back a feed of related titles for the one genre. If I want, I can see only the links and not the content. of related records. So I'm doing this by adding the dollar link, special operator. I get a list of links. And one interesting thing here is I do not get all of them, but at the end I get a next element. So in this case, there was a paging enforced by the server because it don't want to send too much data in one turn. And if I want to follow that link, I copy this URI. And get the rest of the records, then there is no next element, so I have seen them all. So, more possibilities. I can expand related records so that I don't get a list of links, but expand the content so I get one genre with all related titles in one document. That would look like this one. So there is a dollar expand special operator and titles. This is the name of the navigation property to the related titles. Then I can add filters by using the filter operator. Let's try filters again. Also, this works. I filtered titles that have a rating higher than 4. Is it true? Oh, too many links. Average rating, the first one has 4.1, so the query seems to work. And that's going on and on. I can add an order by with ascending, descending. I can restrict the number of returned fields with the select operator. And the last thing I want to show right now, to save a little bit of time, is I can ask for metadata. Where is it? Come. And the metadata we get is an EDMX file, like an entity framework that defines entity types and then entity sets and so on. Okay, back to my slides. I've shown a lot of navigation queries. I've shown queries with filter, order by, select, and so on. I've shown the metadata. And I've not shown everything. So as you can see here, there are a lot of operators defined that I can use in my queries. There are logical operators, mathematical operators, comparison operators, and so on. And also there are a lot of functions for string, date, time handling, and mathematical functions. So they put a lot of functionality that I can use and put everything in my in the query string of the URI and have a very powerful query language. So nearly as powerful or as powerful as Link. And because of this powerful query language and the metadata, of course it's possible to generate a very comfortable client-side proxy with classes for the entities. And there's also a link provider on top of that OData query functionality. If you want to start playing around with an OData service like that one from Netflix, but do not like to type everything in the URI, there are nice tools. You can use LinkPad, and LinkPad does immediately the translation from link to this OData syntax. And another nice tool is called OData Explorer. That's a Silverlight application, and that's the way it looks when it's loading data. And there is a build query tool. There you can it also reads, of course, the metadata, and then you can build queries in a way to say what field, what operator, what value, add condition by condition, and then look at the query string that has been created by the tool. So maybe easier than typing it by hand. Okay, let's go to clients. I go to Visual Studio and I have an empty console application, and I have copied once again the starting URI of the Netflix service. And now to use the Netflix service programmatically from .NET, I only have to say add service reference, give this URI, say go. We found the service, I select it, namespace service reference 1 is okay for today. And then it reads the metadata and generates proxy classes. And now I can program against this data. I think I will not type this in. I've hidden something down there. So what am I doing? I'm defining a variable called the proxy to that service. I instantiate, like in NCG framework, a context object. It's called service reference 1, Netflix catalog. He wants to have in the constructor, again, the URI of the starting point of that service. And now I can work the same way, nearly the same way as in NCG framework. I have a query defined here, query Q from G in proxy, shores, where g.name starts with a order by select, and then for each about the results and console.writeline the name, because there is not more information in there. Hopefully it works. Okay, here they are. And the generated classes for the entities work very nice for data binding with WPF or Silverlight applications. They have the I notify property changed interface. And they have a few other methods, a few more methods as entity framework context, for example, to get this stream that is connected to an entry or write that stream. But it's the way to work is very similar. Yes, I want to show another client. I have already prepared. So, what this is a very simple web page that uses JavaScript to show a table. In this case, I use a service that is running locally on my machine. That's the product data service. It's a simple service built on top of the Northwind database using category and product table. And the important thing here is that I've imported the jQuery library, and there is a method called getJSON, and I give that getJSON method an URI that points to the categories entity collection on my local service. And if the result is returned, I use a little bit of JavaScript to loop through to the results and then display the table. Open view in browser. Ah, so beautiful. I have to learn something about styling, I think. And what I learned this morning is F12. So the client tool for developers. I go to network, say start capturing, and refresh the page once. And this is the request for the data. And this is a little small. I hope in IE10 they will allow to increase the font in this tool. But the response body that came back is not the XML, but in this case it's JSON, as you see. And why is that so? This is because in the request header they added an accept token application/JSON. So the get JSON said, dear server, if it's possible, give me JSON. I prefer that to XML, and the server can produce JSON, so it does so. And in this way, the JavaScript gets JSON and is happy. One more client. I need an URI. Where is my URI document? Oh, God. Here. So the next client is Excel, and I'm going to the products table of my local service. In Excel, you can install Power Pivot, which is a part of SQL Server 2008, an extension to Excel to allow more data sources. Then I start the Power Pivot window and find here the OData icon from data feeds beneath the icon from Azure Data Market. Add the URI, say next, finish, and close. Now I've imported the data. Now you see the ODBC-ness of that thing. You can do this with ODBC for a long time, but now it works for OData services. And I've learned this just today. We can add a pivot chart, put it somewhere. And I say I'm interested in units in stock per product and want to slice it by category ID. And already I have a wonderful analysis made and can look at my data. So real Excel specialist can do a lot of things with that. That's what I can do. So I just wanted to show one more client that will be happy with your OData services. Oh, I forgot to show something. Back to Visual Studio. Oh, that's very nice. My service reference 1. I have to install a little bit, extension to Visual Studio. Then I can go to the service reference, to the OData service, and say view in diagram. It's on my slides where to get this thing. And I want to see all entity types. And now I have a graphical representation. And this again shows the idea behind the OData and the data services concept. So it should be very simple, and it should be possible to use an OData service without knowing much about it. And so if Netflix presents me with a useful relational model, gives the entities useful names and the fields useful names and adds the right relations, so without knowing very much and reading any documentation of the service, I can go import the metadata, look at this thing, and as a more or less database person, very soon I can understand what this data is about and I can start using it. I showed the get JSON, and we're coming to the last big point, that is service implementation. So the tool is WCF Data Services. It has data services runtime, and I have three steps or three main ways how I can implement my own service. So the simple way is using entity framework. So I have a database, for example, SQL Server, and entity framework is available and works with SQL Server as we know. Then I can build my entity model and use the entity framework provider of WCF data services. And with a few steps and three lines of code, I have a running service. Then I can add a little more code to add more security, to make the Atom feeds look more beautiful and add some custom business logic. So I'll show that soon. The next way is a little bit harder, but not too hard. So let's say you have another data source that supports a link, that means implements the iQueryable interface. For example, if you want to use a link to SQL or nHibernate, which also has an iQueryable implementation, or any other data source that supports iQueryable, then you can use the reflection provider that's part of WCF data services and link this thing, I'll show how to do this soon, to your link provider, and you have a data service. And then there's the hard way. You can implement a custom provider, do everything by yourself, and that means that you have to write classes that implement a number of interfaces depending on what functionality you need. So there's an interface called iData Service Metadata Provider to provide metadata, then the query provider. Then if you want to support updates, you have to implement an update provider. Then if you want to implement streaming objects, the stream provider, and for paging, the iData Service Paging Provider. So maybe that will take longer than one rainy weekend to do so, but that is what the SharePoint team and the Azure team for the Azure Table Storage, they have used this approach to implement their support for OData. Okay, let's start with the simplest way building an OData service based on entity framework. The first thing to do is create an empty ASP.NET applications. You don't need any ASPX or HTML files or something, just the empty web application. Then you create an ADO.NET entity data model, and then you add the data service. I prepared the first two of these steps. Close this one. So this is the empty web application, product service 2. I again use the Northwind database, and I already prepared a simple data model with category table and product table. Just added them from the database, nothing more. And so I'm ready to build an OData service. Add a new item, go to web, and there is the WCF data service. Give it a name. Like product data service, we say add, and we get a file where we have to add a few lines of code. So you see we derive from a class data service, and now we have to tell him what data should be serviced by giving him the type of the entity framework data context class. And in my case, I think this is Northwind entities. That's the way I've configured my entity model. Then by default, all entity sets are locked, so the service wouldn't serve anything. I have to set a security to allow access general to an entity set or not. And I can do this the easiest way by commenting out this line of code. So I have a config instance, and this config instance allows me to customize certain aspects of the service behavior. The first thing, the access rules. The easiest thing, save, well, for everything, allow all. Now I really opened up the database, but you don't have to do this. And maybe that's enough. I go to my service, say view in browser, and here is the service document, and I can do the same things as I showed with the Netflix service. Get this new one. And so on and so on. So if I have a closer look to one entry of my service, so to one category, I see some ugly things. So the title field of the atom entry is empty, updated is there, author is empty. Okay. Then inside the content, so in the Northwind database, there's even a picture in the categories table, but now the picture is available as Base64 formatted. So that's not the way I want to present my picture. And I'll fix this soon and show you how to implement a streaming provider. Okay, I've prepared this service already in my other solution. I want to show you something, how you can I can improve the service. Don't know this any longer. So that's the same thing. I've changed, in this case, the model a little bit from category. I removed the picture, because I do not want to see that in line with the other fields, because the picture is a natural candidate for this media link entry, for the blob or the stream that belongs to one entity. And to make a little demo about security, I added is public field in the category table. So I say there are categories that are only internal, and there are others that are public. And then I have another entity type is only for internal usage, but I have only the category ID and the picture to retrieve the picture. But that's not public. The first thing, I want to add a little bit of security. And I can do this by using query interceptors. So I have a method intercept category query, and this is marked with an attribute query interceptor that says I'm responsible for the entity set categories. And now this method has to return a piece of logic that tells me for one instance of a category whether it should be included in the result set or not. So the type for this is a function that accepts category and returns a bool, and I need the whole thing wrapped as an expression. And this is a little bit weird, but implementation is simple. So my logic is here, I say, if the user is at least authenticated, he will see all the categories. If it's not authenticated, he will see only the public categories. So, and I use the HTTP context to find out whether the current user is authenticated, put this in this variable, and then what I return is a lambda expression, so which says if I have a category C, this will be included in the result set if the user is authenticated or if this category is public. Another cool thing is that data services or WCF data services runtime is smart enough to merge this logic into the same SQL query as the query that is derived from the filters and conditions in the query string of the URI that we are accessing. So I have, where is it? The profiler running. Still alive, very good. And I open this service and I go to a category with ID 1. I get it back. And hopefully I have something here. Now this is the query that has been created. And we can see here there is the first condition. So category ID equals 1. This is the thing that came from the query string because I said category with ID 1. And then there's a second part of the query that says some parameter equals 1. This is my is authenticated, and the value for this is 1 because I've turned on Windows authentication for my web application. So is authenticated or is public equals 1. So the condition from outside and the logic from my query interceptor has been merged in one query, and there's only one round trip to the database, what is very smart. So the next thing what I want to improve is the way my data is presented as an atom entry. And if you haven't seen enough XML for today, so I have more. I open my entity model in XML, and I look somewhere in the conceptual model. There should be the entity type for category. Oh, it's here. And I defined a new namespace alias for a namespace da-da-da-da-da, data services metadata. And then, for example, for the category name, I add two properties. Here's the just invented prefix called... So there's a target path property, and I say, please use that information as the title for the feed entry, but keep the entry in the content also. If I put it to false here, it's removed from the content and put only in the title. But if I use then the JSON version, the data is missing, though. Better leave it on both places. And I do the same with the description field of the category table. And I say that's a good candidate to be used as the syndication summary field in my atom entry. Do I have the thing still open? Where is it? No. I'll close that stuff. So we go to any category, and the result is now in the title field. Okay, I have the name of the category, and I have a summary. And there's a summary from the description field, and in some cases it may be important, in others not, but it's a little better atom entry I've built in that way. Okay, the next thing I would like to show you is the streaming support. I'm still in the entity model for my category. And for the entity type category, I've also said M, this new namespace, has stream equals true. So I say there is that media link entry for this type. And then I have to add a little code to make this work. The first thing is in my service class, I implemented interface iServiceProvider. That interface is very simple, has only one method, getService. And this method will be called by the runtime, and he asked me for some services, whether I implement them or not. And if I'm asked for the iData service stream provider interface, I say, oh yes, I know this one, I've implemented it. It's called my stream provider, and I handle it the current entity framework context because I need it. And here's a class, my stream provider, that implements the interface, of course, iData service stream provider, and the most work is in the method getReadStream, so I implemented only the read case, and I get the current entity for which the blob object should be returned as a parameter, and then I have some logic here. I use my other entity type to look up the picture, and so in the okay, you know, the Northwind database is from 2000. The pictures inside there are bitmaps, and there is a 78-byte Ole header in front of it. So I found the code somewhere in the internet, and I just use the data and cut off this header and make a bitmap from it, and then save the bitmap as a JPEG and put it in the memory stream and give the memory stream back. And the result of all this is that if I go to a category and add just dollar value on this entity, I get such a beautiful picture. So it was worth it. Okay, I've showed nearly everything I wanted to show. The security, query interceptors, customization. There are a lot more possibilities to customize the feed. I can also can change the XML format in the value if I want to do that, and set more of the atom pub specific properties. One other possibility I have, I can add custom operations. So by adding to my service just methods that are marked with webget or webinvoke if I want to send data, and they return a queryable of something, for example, product in this case, get product by category, parameter, name, and then I just build a link query here with that restriction, return it, and then I have to allow also access to this custom operation, and then to call it from the URI, I just use the name and provide the parameters in the query string. If I want to use it from .NET or Silverlight client, there's no proxy generated directly for it, but I have to use proxy.execute, and I say I want to have a list of products, and then I give the URI just the same way as I would do it in the browser, and I get back a list of this. I didn't speak much about updates. Updates are possible. If you want to add business logic to updates, there are change interceptors. They work similar to the query interceptors. You get each entity that is changed before it will be updated, and you can perform some business logic. Then OData and also the generated clients support also batch updates, so sending more than one changed entity to the service. And then I have in my data service class, I have a processing pipeline object that has events like processing change set and process change set that are called before and after an update batch is executed. So, but I have to say, in my opinion, the programmatic possibilities are not so ideal to add a lot of logic in the updates. So you can do something, but the strength of all of this technology is mainly in reading and in more or less simple updates. But if you have complex updates, complex logic and transactions, distributed transactions and so on, then WCF services without the data in the middle and the SOAP protocol is the better solution. I showed the stream provider. I think I have no more time, but you will get my demos. I built a very little demo for a reflection provider, just a person class and then a list of persons, and you can return an iQueryable, and it's very easy to build a service without entity framework. Please, that's the person class, and then the service can be as simple as this one. Just look at the sample. You will be able to download it. Some resources. Also down there, how to get the nice visualizer for the OData service references to see the entity model. And that's it. Summary, I think OData, you have seen, is an open and simple mechanism to access data or make data accessible from any platform in any language that supports somehow HTTP requests. There's already a wide support of OData, not only in Microsoft, and I'm sure we'll see a lot of more OData services and tools that can consume OData. I think if the focus is on reading data, it's the best, and if we have complex business logic, you also can, of course, think about a service that has a SOAP interface for complex updates and operations and business logic and an OData interface for applications that only have to consume to read that data. Okay, the time is nearly over. I think it's not enough for question answer. If you have, we have. Yeah, yes. So you need the microphone or what?
If there is a question, we have time for one or two questions.
Okay.
Y a-t-il des questions? It's probably was very clear then, I guess.
So.
Okay, so Christophe, thank you very much for the presentation.
Thank you.
On se retrouve dans 15 minutes à 4 heures pour la dernière session des Tech Days 2011. Merci beaucoup.